listening to Discovering Multifamily, where we discuss all educational topics in commercial real estate with an emphasis on multifamily apartment investing via syndication. And now, your hosts, former NFL fullback Brian Leonard and Anthony Scandariato.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Discovering Multifamily Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Scandariato with Red Knight Properties. And today we have a special guest here with us, Cam Zanabody. He's the founder at Park Place Investment. And we're going to be talking a lot about capital raising and fundraising, specifically as it relates to crowdfunding, because crowdfunding has just been a lot more popular. There's a lot of regulations in the marketplace that have changed for real estate syndicators and sponsors to put deals together over the past, even over the past 6 months. A lot of rules have changed and creates, you know, different opportunities in the marketplace. Cam has found one that seems to be pretty interesting for those of you looking to really scale up your real estate syndication business, or you already have an existing one and you're kind of built up a platform to a certain extent where you want to take it to the next level, Cam can help you with that. So Cam, just want to welcome you for coming on the show and appreciate your time and looking forward to hearing about Park Place.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being on your show. Thanks for inviting me, and I'll be happy to have this really lively discussion about crowdfunding and capital raise.
Sure. Can you talk to us a little bit about the regulations for a sponsor first, in order to, how can they raise capital online? There's a lot of different rules. Real briefly, just to give my audience.
Yeah, absolutely. So the difference between crowdfunding and the way we were raising money before was the fact that up to, rather within the last decade or so, we really couldn't go and do general solicitation. Like, you couldn't, what that means is you couldn't go out and just advertise and raise money from people you didn't know. The rule was typically you have to have a pre-existing relationship with your clientele or investor base. Now, that changed around 2012, 2013 with the Jobs Act. So at that point, you could get certain types of exemptions to be able to go and advertise your deals on, you know, either social media or internet. And that's really how the crowdfunding space started.
Excellent. So that's how it started. So where are we now in terms of, you know, there's 506B, 506C, sure. Reg A. Can you talk a little bit about those? And do they even apply to crowdfunding?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, yes, there's really three main ways that you could really participate in crowdfunding. And when we define crowdfunding, it's a very vague definition. I mean, you know, it's not really an exact definition by SEC, but I like to define it as whenever you go out to the to advertise and do general solicitation. And a lot of times you start the, you know, the minimum investments a little bit lower than what you would do with your typical investors that you've had existing relationships with. I mean, that's my definition. Everybody has a little bit different definition, how they really categorize it, but that would be the way I would tell you. As far as the regulations, you need to get some kind of an exemption from the SEC and FINRA, because they don't want to to go and solicit investor you don't know, and then something happens, you know, and that's really the biggest fear, to protect both really the investors. The major categories, I think you mentioned one was Reg A plus. This is really a more of a mini IPO of any type of security. It could be real estate. It could be, you know, any kind of any type of security. And that's that's a difficult one to get, honestly. So I wouldn't really focus on Reg A plus. It's a lot of regulations and, you know, just process to get it. So if someone has a 3-month window to raise funds, it's really not the best way to do it. However, having said that, there's large portals that use Reg A to bring investors in. And the beauty of Reg A is you don't have to be an accredited investor. So when you get the Reg A, you could bring people with lower income brackets and things like that. The second one is what you mentioned was the 506. A lot of sponsors and developers already know about 506B. And that's the one that you could bring a certain amount of non-accredited investors, plus the rest of them have to be accredited. I believe it's 45 non-accredited and the rest have to be accredited. As far as verification of the accredited status, it's a lot easier. It could be a self-attestation as opposed to 506C, which I'll talk to you about. With that, unfortunately, you can't do general solicitations. It's really not part of the crowdfunding space. The newer one is the 506C, which you could actually do general solicitation. I think that's probably a lot simpler way to go about general solicitation on Reg A. The pluses with Reg 506C is if you get it, you could, you know, start your own, website or advertise, to anybody you want. Some of the minuses is one, it's a little bit more of a stringent criteria about, you need to actually have a little bit more of a vetting process, getting the accredited investors. You can't be just self-attestation. You have to get a certificate either from a third party side or a CPA or go through actually looking at their tax returns. As far as the other negative is only general solicitation to accredited investors. So you can't really go about and get any retail investors or non-accredited investors on your raise. Now, the third one, which is a very interesting, which up to recently hasn't really been used that much for real estate, is regulation crowdfunding, a lot of, startup companies use a crowdfunding space like Kickstarter and those things use it. The issue with that up to recently was you can only raise up to about $1.07 million. So as you can imagine, most real estate deals are require a lot of larger capital raise. So it really wasn't part of the equity stack of developers and sponsors. However, recently SEC increased the minimum to $5 million, so it becomes a lot more practical and reasonable. So I think it'll definitely have a lot more brighter future in the real estate equity raise space. There's pluses and minuses besides that. The plus is you could go to retail investors. You don't really need an accredited investor. A lot of times the minimums are a lot lower though. So, you're not looking for that $50,000 minimum per investor. It has to be a lot lower. So you have to kind of be able to really manage a larger cohort of investors, which, with the modern technology, shouldn't be that difficult. The other thing is you have to use a funding portal. So you can't really do these without, you can't set it up like a 506C, get your security attorney to get the 506C and then just list it. You can't do that. You have to go through a FINRA license portal, funding portal. Unfortunately, there's not that many right now in real estate. There's a couple really larger ones that are dominant. But there's going to be a lot more coming. So the advantage is, again, it's a retail investor, and that's a true crowdfunding exemption, really. So,
got it. So who would be the type of client that you guys are looking for? Is it a real estate sponsor that has had a few deals under their belt already? Because if you're trying to crowdfund your opportunities, if I had to think about it, you have to have some prior experience, even for a general solicitation. It's a little bit different than doing the 506B to start. And then is it more of a stepping stone to get to the crowdfunding? Or would you categorize the crowdfunding as being a supplement to a 506B or a 506C or a replacement? How would you because you mentioned 5 million is the max for crowdfunding. So what if you're trying to do a $50 million deal? That's not going to be enough equity. You're going to need probably at least double that at a minimum.
The way you should think about it is you have to structure your equity stack the way you like it. It's not because you're doing regulation crowdfunding, you can't do regulation 506C exemption, Reg D. It could be part of your, so you have to structure the equity stack pyramid the way you like it. And, that's up to you and your partners and your financial advisors. Having said that, most of the funding portals that do Reg CF, at least the one we work with, is also a broker dealer and does 506C. So they could certainly help you out with the entire, you know, kind of organization of your equity stack the way you like it. But I think maybe what you were getting at, it doesn't have to be exclusive. You know, it could be all, you know, it could be proportion of it one and the other one. So it doesn't preclude you from, you know, doing the other types. Is that okay. What you were asking? I hope that was answering your question, yeah. Correct? I
don't know. Yes, okay. Yes, it does. All right, okay. So how do you vet your sponsors? How do you vet the deals? You know, how do you make sure that they're good opportunities to provide to your investor base, which I'm assuming is, you know, your platform, that's the reason that people come on.
Sure.
I guess, you know, obviously every deal is different, but is there a general vetting process that you guys typically look for?
Absolutely. So let me circle back a little bit, tell you a little bit about my platform, because sure. I don't want to explain what we do without really knowing what we are, who yes. we are. So Park Place is a listing site for syndicated deals that are going through general solicitation. So most of them are 506C right now. What we do is it's really our goal and our mission, our primary mission is become almost like an MLS of syndicated deals that are generally solicited. So from an investor standpoint, which I really came from that, I mean, I've invested in real estate for two decades now, and I've had success in various types of both active and passive investments. So from an investor standpoint, I wanted to be able to kind of go through like a platform, like much I do with LoopNet or, you know, for residentials like Redfin or Zillow, to be able to kind of have a broad kind of choice based on geographic locations, the type of, you know, the asset class and things like that, to be able to find a large number. And I really didn't find that. I mean, I initially did find them through, like, you know, crowdfunding sites, but they're limited also. It's very, especially the larger ones, are mostly not even going through other syndications deals anymore that list them on their site. Most of them are actually their own funds now. So that's the evolution. They become almost like an e-fund or e-REIT. There's only a few that are remaining that are actually truly, they list other sponsors' deals on their site. So as you can imagine, when you have this funnel of having a lot of the deals are not going to be listed. And as an investor, I really want to get a really large kind of a perspective or global picture of how many deals are out there. And that's really the way Park Place was started. It's very democratic. We don't want to not be able to deal every, you know, list deals based on some of the stringent criteria that the crowdfunding sites have. Plus, you know, one of the shortcomings of listing all the deals on their platform is, number one, not only the vetting process, which the AUM has to be over 50K to even 100K, and also things like the amount of money they charge to list a deal, right? I mean, I know it's a lot of it's a stringent process to list a deal, but, you know, it's still less than probably, I mean, their catch was is less than a broker dealer charges, but it's still quite a bit. And our platform is very democratic. We want to say, you know what, we want to bring partnership. Our mission ultimately is to be able to list as many deals as we can for the benefit of the investors. And I think the investors are sophisticated enough to be able to kind of contact the sponsors themselves and figure out, hey, is this a good deal for me or not? I mean, and I think that's ultimately what I envision Park Place to be in. And actually the idea and concept has really taken off because a lot of sponsors have said, yeah, this is a good idea. We want to be able to, you know, list a deal without going the 4-6 month process of getting vetted by a big crowdfunding site or not being able to, you know, list our deals sooner than that. As far as that's really the ultimate, our purpose. A secondary purpose is through partnerships, which we've already developed with both security attorneys, with marketing agencies, with CPAs that, for example, do cost segregation analysis, to provide a service for sponsors under one platform to be able to really maximize their success. And that's really a secondary mission from a sponsor standpoint. From the investor standpoint, that was what I mentioned, was to kind of have a really broad range of deals to invest. Now, having said that, and based on those missions and goals, we kind of set up, we do have an investment committee that goes through each deal. And based on our criteria, which is list, I don't want to bore you with all of it, but we decide whether this is a good fit for us or not. But certainly our platform is a lot easier to list a deal than the larger crowdfunding size. And again, I think there's a space for them. And I think there's a space for us. We're not really competing with them, honestly. I mean, we're not in the same space.
Sure. So, and you mentioned before on the minimum investment amounts, and typically, like you said, with the 506B, it's 50,000. Do you guys set the minimums for the deals that the sponsors list with you, or does the sponsor set it, or is that something you guys talk about? How does that work?
We don't list the, we do recommend, again, we don't set a minimum or a maximum. I think, you know, we do recommend 25,000. For accredited investors, I think that's a pretty good bar. I mean, if you go to really crowdfunding for retail investors, I think you have to start it lower. Because, you know, but a credit investor, I think based on what a definition of a credit investor is, I think 25,000 is pretty reasonable. So I think that's our recommendation, but still a lot of deals go to the 50K.
Yeah. That's okay. And so what has been your typical, capital raise from the deals that the sponsor puts on? And like I said, kind of going back to, using this as a combination of the existing sponsors' equity relationships and then having your platform as well. It sounds like that's more the marriage. It's not exclusive. So, because there's always that thought in the back of a sponsor's head of, quote, what if no one subscribes to my deal on their platform? Then what happens? You know, and I'm under contract, my deposit's non-refundable, I got to close within 30 days. So a couple questions then. So when does a sponsor typically come to you? And then also, how is that partnership formed? Like you mentioned that, you know, and I'm very aware of fees that other crowdfunding platforms charge. CrowdStreet is one of them that's very significant. How do you guys monetize, you know, your platform as well? So two questions there.
Sure. I mean, and those are really good questions. I think we always go back to the mission of our company and our growth strategy. For us, it's building partnerships, and we're not going to be we're not going to be charging anybody anything right now. I mean, this is not what our platform is. We create our platform. We have a team of engineers that have created an amazing platform. We have a team that's is sticking to that mission. And we're self-funding, and we don't need to really charge the sponsors arm and a leg. I think the sponsors listing the deal provide as much value for us as we provide value for them. So that's really the mission. I mean, ultimately, our goal is to bring partners on board, create a relationship, help them succeed, and then we're going to get lifelong clients and customers. So that's really the mission. Of our platform. Now, to reach those ends, as a sponsor, we don't. If you come to us, we don't charge you any listing. It's absolutely free to you to list your deal on our platform. So, what you would do is you submit your PPM or OM or your prospectus. We will take a look at it, send it to our investment committee. If we think this is a good fit for us, we would go ahead and give you the okay, and then we have one of our team members call you. Set up the deal on our site, which is actually, you could probably do it yourself even. It's very easy and intuitive, but, you know, we still give you that service to go through it with one of our team members. And then we from there, what we do is we send this to our accredited investor base, and also we do a social media campaign for you. Next, we introduce you to some of our partners, and those partners could be a marketing. We have partnered up with an amazing marketing firm that could really reach out now beyond Park Place Investor to over 45,000 accredited investors that are out that they have on board. Again, those are fees that we don't charge you, but those are secondary fees that could be through our partners, which you could go with or not. I mean, ultimately, that's your decision. We don't force you. and so on and so forth. So that's really the steps. And then finally, we do set up a webinar, which a lot of sponsors do themselves, but this would be more for our locally, for our investors that have any question and answers they could ask you, or they pick up the phone. So going back now, we don't handle any of the financial transactions. So the way it would work is, for example, when you list your deal on our site, and then when it goes live, and the investors are interested in your deal after looking at the deal detail page and looking at the video of the the video podcast that you explain your deal. If investors interested and they are an accredited investor, they hit a button on our deal detail page, on your deal detail page, that says contact sponsor, and that takes them to your information. And from there, they message you through our website, or they could even call you. So that's where our relationship ends. So what does that do? And that keeps the control of the entire process with the sponsors. So we're not going to, say, oh, we're going to handle the money and then get a percentage from that. No, you still go with the way you are kind of handling the entire, the investment management side and things like that. So we don't really handle that. So it still creates a complete, independence and autonomy for the sponsors and the investors. And the investors, a lot of times, they don't, especially, I know I didn't want that, to go through through an intermediary to answer my questions, have my questions answered. I want to directly talk to the sponsor. And that's what our platform would design, to create that interaction.
Sure. And so you mentioned the investment committee. How long does it take a deal to get approved? Because that's always a sponsor's concern, especially with the larger crowdfunding sites, or even, if you're waiting to hear from the family office, sometimes that could take a couple of weeks, maybe even a month. How long does that process typically take for?
72 hours. Our goal is to within 72 hours to give you the answer.
Okay. And is there any sort of, when did they raise the minimum from a million? Did you say 1,007,000?
No, it was 1 million. It was inflation adjusted, so it ended up being 1.07 million. Oh. They raised it to 5 million. It hasn't gone into effect, but the ruling was about, I think, 10 days, within a week or two ago, sure, that they raised it to 5 million. So it's going to go, again, their window, they're estimated within two months, beginning of next year, it's gonna be raised, but not
into effect. Okay. Yeah. All right. So basically, the sponsor list is, like you said, it sounds similar to LoopNet, except somewhat similar, because at this point in time, there's no fees that are being charged by you guys, and no. you're trying to. You know, like on LoopNet, if you find a deal, you can reach out to the broker directly. Like that's
exactly
the buyer. So it sounds very similar, and then the broker kind of takes it from there.
Exactly. I think that's what I wanted. I mean, I was addicted to LoopNet for my own deals. I was always on it. I mean, I know they have off market deal. I mean, it was for an investor that I'm not a broker. I'm not I'm a developer. I just was investing in small multifamilies, which I could find. And, it was good for me. And that's, I said, there's no such thing for syndications, because I was investing in syndications also. The only ones I knew about was through my just friends and colleagues that they invested and they told me about it. But I knew that the net is a lot more, you could throw a larger net to find things that you don't know anything about. And that's, sure, that's how it really came about.
Sure. And so on your website, right. So on your website, when a sponsor posts a deal, is there very similar to CrowdStreet where you have a meter that says 50% subscribe, 80% subscribe, or like you said, is it completely offline? Like none of that's going to be on there. It's going to be up to the sponsor to communicate that.
Yeah, we're offline. We're not doing any of that. We're just connecting people together.
Okay.
It's very simple. I mean, we wanted to keep the idea very simple, because inherent we're not, I think those things are important for part of a platform that actually is trying to raise and get percentage from the commission or bring. I mean, ultimately, okay. that's what they. I mean, a lot of funding portals and these portals have those, but ours is just we wanted to keep it very basic and simple.
Got it. Okay. And so, have you seen more crowdfunding deals take place over the past year or so, as opposed to the private? Because I still get private 506B, 506C deals sent to me all the time. Have you seen the crowdfunding take? You know, like I don't look at CrowdStreet deals like at all. I don't think anymore. I used to a little bit. I know it's a little bit different of a business model, but there seems to be, like you said, now they're turning into their own REITs and they have their own funds. And it seems that business model has kind of evolved. So I guess, do you think we're on just the starting ground, or are we kind of in the ninth inning in terms of where crowdfunding can go? Like, do you think that the limit past 5 million will be even revisited after 2021? Like, what do you think is going to happen with the industry?
Sure. I think, the trends are, it's definitely on the growth trajectory right now, the slope, because I mean, these are not my numbers, but based on what I've read, it's about year over year, 25 to 30% growth crowdfunding. Now this year is a little bit of a blip because we don't know what's going on with the entire COVID, what's going on with COVID and all that. It's just reaped havoc in the entire industry to some level, some parts more than others, but year over year, it's really definitely, it's a growing part of the industry. As far as the SEC, the trend that SEC, it seems like we're kind of finding out from them, is they're easing what the role of a credit, what the definition of a credit investor is. So they're kind of now they're easing it to not only income basis, but also based on certain licenses like Life 65, Series 65, things like that, that if you're within the financial industry, it becomes a lot easier for you to be kind of deemed an accredited investor. And also, I think what SEC is kind of implying based on raising the 1 million to 5 million is that they are supporting the growth of the industry. Now they're kind of bringing real estate more into the circle, and they're going to continue, I think, to increase the minimums. I think I think it's basically, to answer your question, it's you should be on board. I think at least know about it as a sponsor, and don't let these larger crowdfunding sites that have been established since about now it's been probably 7, 8, 9 years they've been around since the Jobs Act, that you shouldn't be intimidated by them. And there's always room. There's new players like us that will make it easier for you. We create a lot of relationship with, broker dealers that are kind of also want to entertain the space and find out what they could do. A lot of family offices are coming to us that, hey, let me get in there and see what we could look at the deal. So I think it's interesting. People are finding out about it. And I think it's a very exciting time to be in the space right now, especially as a real estate, it's usually been very traditional oriented, a lot less on tech. It's the same kind of same kind of regulations for both, but real estate has been a lot more kind of, conservative, just the nature of the game. But I think any developer, sponsor, syndicator should know about crowdfunding, how to raise money online. And I think from what I've seen, it's really a lot of the sponsors are understanding it and are actually doing that. Not enough, but more and more every year.
More and more. Yeah. Some of the old school guys, they just don't want to deal with the technology at all. Yeah. But that's great.
That's right.
Yeah. So Ken, how can people find you, learn more about Park Place, connect with you? What's the best
way? Thank you for giving me that opportunity. So our website is, our platform website is www.parkplaceinvestment.com. parkplaceinvestment.com. We're also on LinkedIn, Facebook, Park Place Investment. And that's where they could find us. And they could always reach to me via email, info@parkplaceinvestment.com, if you have any more questions.
Excellent. So we want to thank Cam for coming on the show today. It's definitely an interesting topic, and I'd love to have Cam on again mid-2021 and see how the business has evolved and how the industry has evolved from there. I think that'll be really interesting. And again, if you really liked what you saw today, if you can give us a rating and review on iTunes, it helps our rankings so Cam and I can get our message out to a greater audience and people can learn more. So Cam, want to thank you again for coming on the show today. I encourage my audience to reach out and check out Park Place if you're interested, and hope to have you on again soon.
Thanks, Anthony. Thanks for having me on the show. I really enjoyed the conversation. I appreciate
it. Excellent. Thank you.